Good morning. It's always a privilege for me, a privilege to speak the Word of God. And this morning, I will try to share with you. I say I will try because sometimes as a preacher, we get so excited that we forget what we're going to preach, you know, and then we preach something else, you know. And we wonder why the people don't respond. It's always a privilege for me to speak the Word of God, and especially this time, it happened to be the first day of December. A lot of celebration, a lot of food, a lot of ways to enjoy the families. It's always, for most of the people, the best time of the year. And as a Christian, we know what the real message is in Christmas. But with the light, the parties, the gift that people interchange, that message gets diluted in something else. And that's why you see the efforts that churches put in December to try to attract all the people to their churches and explain what the real message is. And I was thinking, you know, this year, wow, we could do a lot of things. We could have a play, because I know that will be a really good actor here that can help us to do it. Or we could have a big musical so we can, in some way, convey the real message of Christian. Or we could have so many other things that we, in our creative mind, can do in order to attract the people and receive the real message of Christmas. But one thing is the reality that in order to do that, it takes a lot of people, a lot of work, big effort to do it. And sometimes it's hard to be motivated to do it, because everybody's busy and they work and with the children, with so many things that happen that don't allow us to do these sort of things, you know, because it takes a lot of time. But the reality is that in our hearts, we want to obey the great commandment of the Lord to spread the gospel. And one of the ideas is to be motivated to do it. And that's what I will try to do this morning. In some way, try to motivate to do something for the Lord. And especially in December, you will have a lot of opportunities to share the gospel, to explain people what really means that the Lord become flesh and live among us and die for us at the cross. And in this passage in Matthew 9, from the 31st to the 35 to the 39 verse, we see Jesus giving us the example. I have made this message compassion with action, because what will really motivate our life to do something for God is if we have compassion. And that is something that it requires more than our inner person. It requires that we really understand, the fully understanding of what God had done for us. And here Jesus gives us the clue, the example, what we need to do. And so Jesus went through all towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease of the sickness. When he saw the crowds, listen to this, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without shepherd. If we had moved this here, then. I wonder if you put attention to that word, compassion. When Jesus saw these people, he felt compassion for them. It touched the inside of that Jesus that had been doing the ministry as a man, not as a God. As a God, he knew what was going on since the beginning. But as a man in this ministry, he was touched because, as he said here, he saw people like without a shepherd. What does that mean? It's somebody to guide them to the right track, to the right doing in life. When you don't have direction, your life can go everywhere. And that's why it's so needed. Somebody to direct you. And he sees the people in this way. And you're going to see it through all this month in December, how the people go through different things that doesn't have to do anything with the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be a lot of parties, you know, because it's time to celebrate. But celebrate what? Well, it's Christmas time. Let's have fun. And you see advertising all over the places, you know, a happy hour. Buy one drink, you get two. You know, you're going to see a lot of that. You know. And if we have the mind of Christ, instead of probably criticize those people, say, why they do that? We have to have compassion. Because remember that when we don't have Christ in our life, the Bible says that we are dead and blind. And some of us used to do that. Only once, amen. The rest were well behaved. Pastor, I don't know what you're talking about. When I was a little kid a long time ago, you know, in Latin America, we have one custom. When we don't hug that much, but with the 24th of December and the 31st of December, we allowed to go out of all the houses and we hug each other. And then we have the chance to give a kiss to the girl we like, you know. So we look forward that time. We really look forward to that time. Well, that's what I used to do, you know. You remember, some of them right, yeah, right on, bro. We remember those times. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, we don't really celebrate in Christ at all, you know. And especially in Latin America, it's allowed the firecracker, you know, I mean, the whole night. So when you come here to the United States, you say, man, these people are boring, you know. Because they're there, man, the whole night, bam, 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 I mean, the whole night. And music, you know. Que mira mi chiquita, que voy pa' ti, que voy pa' allá, que me... The whole time. No Christ at all. And like I say, we can criticize what these people are doing. But Christ, he saw it in different eyes. He felt compassion. But we wouldn't know what we're doing. We were blind. We were dead in our sins. That's why we don't understand what's going on. And that's why this time we have to realize that. And I hope that you, during this month, you see that in people and say, man, these people need the Lord. But what can we do? I put to this sermon passion with action because in these examples of the Word of God, you'll find that when Jesus sees something and feels the compassion, he does something about it. And that's the good thing. He did something about it. He saw then that they were like sheep without a shepherd. And what did he do? Look at the following. He said to the disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest of the field." The first thing that Jesus do with this is say, wow, we need workers. And listen to the word, ask the Lord or the heart. We're going to ask the Lord to send workers to the harvest. So the reaction of Jesus is that the only way that these people are going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only way that they're going to come close to God is if there is a lot of workers telling them the real story of Christmas. And that's what we should do in this moment, this time, praying that God send a lot of workers. Because we could feel the compassion, and we could be moved how the people destroy their life in many ways. But if we don't do nothing about it, nothing's going to happen. That's what in churches we should be with that compassion to this world that doesn't understand the love of God and be ready to work. Be part of the movement to touch life. Be compassionate for them. And when that happened, then we could do a lot of things. We could do a lot of things. Like I said, we could have play here. You know, even if you never act in your life, you will discover that you could take Robert De Niro plays. You will know it, you know. Well, man, you discover in churches a lot of talents, you know. And people like to go to plays in churches. They say, hey, we're going to have this, you know. And people show up. Or a big musical. Or go out and carol through all Whittier, you know, in the corners to singing and share the gospel. But it takes a lot of time, a lot of work. But all we have to do is pray that God sends workers. So my prayer is that the Lord can do that with us, that moves us to do something. But we have many examples of how this compassion moved Christ. In Matthew 14:14, it says that when Jesus, I can see all the way over there, so I'm reading here. I'm kind of blind, you know. I'm blind, okay? I 8.5 and 7.5 here, so. When Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. This is when he multiplied, you know, the 5,000, and he fed 5,000. He felt compassion for them. And what did he do? He fed them. In Mark 6:34, this is when Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, in the same passage with a different gospel. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. He did something about it. He not only fed them with bread and fish, but he teach them. He teach about God, obviously, and the love of God. So he do something about it. When you feel compassion for something, do something about it. Put action into it. Try to do the difference. Try to make that difference. Another example we find here is when we describe the word compassion can be a sympathetic pity and concern for suffering or misfortune of others. That's one concept. The other is to have one inner being, visceral, inside, you know, stirred. When you feel, wow, that hurt, that's compassion. When you felt it, you really feel it. And the Bible is full of those examples, but I want to take especially that you see what at the gospel you know, we can find. Imagine that there is 12 references, and 8 of them have to do with Christ. He was moved by the multitude, and he fed them and teach them. 2 blind men come to him, and he felt compassion. But not only that, he make a miracle on them. So he do something about it. Another time that you're going to find that word is with the leper. But it's the same thing. When the leper came to him, he could have said, man, I'm sorry, buddy, but, you know, too bad it happened to you. But no, he did something about it. He did something about it. With the widow, this is really a powerful example. I give you this, that's what I give the paper, so you could read the whole story, you know, in your house. It's beautiful. The widows in those times, they couldn't work because in those times, it was not like today, you know. In those times, women didn't work. The man was the provider. If the man couldn't provide a home, it was shameful. I still see a lot of that, you know, when I was young. The man say, hey, man, you got to be man enough to support your woman. Time has changed, you know. And sometimes now it's the opposite. There is one amen over there. Yeah. I was with my grandson, you know, he was playing flag football, you know, and he said, and a guy was talking to me, one of the coaches, you know, and he said, what do you do? You know, oh, well, I'm a pastor of the church. Oh, man. No, I am home, you know. We decided that my wife make more money than me, so I stay home, you know. And he was so proud of that, you know. So time has changed. You know, that's why, you know, we have that challenge. Before, when we preach to the same audience. Everybody was doing the same thing. Right now, it's so different. So different. You know, we have the baby busters. We have the jopies that are getting old now. And you had the millennials that nobody know what happened with them, you know. The projection is that they will get 45 and they were thinking if they leave their mom and dad or will stay home, you know. What can I do, you know? And that is because they're so smart, you know, and they have too much information. And they don't see what's going on. They stick in their things, you know, there. And they don't know what's going on around, you know. They say, you're getting 40 now. Yeah? Well, you know. So now it's difficult to preach, you know, because you don't know what to preach. If I preach that the man has to be the man of the house, oh, man, that guy is way off, macho, you know. So time has changing, you know. But as in the churches, we have to figure out what we're gonna do. Because we need to reach out to everybody. We have to feel compassion for everybody. So that's what is so difficult now. We have problems with the music, you know. We have problems with sometimes, like I say, communicate. But you don't know what, if I say this, I will offend this guy. If I this, I will offend this one. If I say, I will offend it. So you don't know what to talk. That's what I make a rule. I don't care you get mad with me, you know. Because I was trying to please this one. This get mad with me, so I don't care, you know. Because it's so difficult too much political correct, you know. Pastor, you offend my husband. He is staying home. Because you don't know what is need for our house. You don't have to write to tell me what I have to do. It's my life. Okay. But still, you have to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember that Jesus said that the gospel, it won't bring peace. It brings sore. He said, Jesus, I will put son against the father. You know, he go on, you know. Because we don't want to change our way of life when we are blind or dead for our sins. But the beauty of this is that all of us that have been touched by the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that that's the best decision that we did in our life. You agree with me in that? Believe me, I will make part of the 27 that die at 27 if it wouldn't be for the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember in Brooklyn, New York, my friend from the university that talked to me 3 years about the Lord. He was talking to me and said, "You're crazy." But he got such a compassion on me that he started to bring me to his house every Saturday. And every Saturday, they have a special dish because they're Puerto Ricans, you know. And in those times, I'm talking about long time ago, 1968, time of the hippies. I was with my platform shoes, white, my belt, white, my polyester bell bottom, you know, and with the open shirt with a whole bunch of colors, long hair, my Elvis wheelchair, you know. And he invited me to his house to eat viandas, you know. So tasty with bacalao. And I guess so, and that's what the way he started to get me every Saturday. So I get so used to that, you know. But they were thinking in one day this guy will go to church. And in one December, like this morning, it was starting to snow really bad. And I become really close to that family. And then everybody left the house. Only they left the mother, the old grandma there. And he said, "Negro, you have to take me to church." And all it was orchestrated, you know. So I went to the church. And when there was none of them there. I said, "Whoa, Negro, you have to stay." And I love her. Because I was by myself when almost 17, 18 years old. And, you know, until that time, I was getting close to 22. And I say, "Well, all right, stay, but I sit in the back." And I sit in the back. And then they invite a preacher. He was a guest speaker. And that guy, he told my life. When he was speaking, I feel like every word was hitting me hard, you know. Telling me the real truth of Christmas. That the Lord had become flesh and lived among us. And he died for us. And I remember when he made the altar call and said, "Anybody want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ?" I remember I grabbed that and they're like, "That's it. You know, I don't want to go, you know. I don't want to move." But it was something that you got to go. And then one of the ushers tapped me and said, "Hey, young man, do you want to accept the Lord?" I said, "All right. I give up, you know." And they didn't explain me anything. I just went in front and I felt everybody put the hand on me. And you should be in a Puerto Rican church, you know. I hear all that. "El Señor te bendiga, que man." They were pushing me. That's it. And then this family came in all crying. Ay, mi negro, come on. Oh, you know. You see what they're crying. They were crying because they have compassion for me. And that day, I met the Lord. And my life changed completely. But they take the effort to do it. They do something about it. So when they ask me, how do you get to the Lord? Oh, through the bacalao. It's so good, man. You should try it. Yeah. It used to be in my congregation about probably 12 of Puerto Ricans, you know. So we used to talk about all that, and they always gave me plate of viandas. And my wife said, oh, I don't want that, you know. But finally, she got converted, you know. And now I had a hard time when somebody gave me something, he cheated all of them, you know. But I always say this story because they do something about it. I was so reluctant because I thought that I was a cool guy. But they touched my life. And Jesus, every time they find something, he do something about it. See, in three of the parables of the, he talk about the king that had compassion for the bankrupt server, a crooked guy, you know, and he had compassion for them. The Samaritan had compassion for the Jewish that was all beat up. He got compassion. And the father, you know, remember that this is the well-known, that young guy that asked for the inheritance and went and to the world to, this, you know, destroy his life. But when he came back, the father have compassion. That's what that's Lucas 15:20 said. And he run to that guy and grabbed him, you know, because he had compassion for that prodigal son. But in all these examples, you see that after the compassion, something happened. Something was done about it. And that's why we have to live as a Christian in that way. We have to have compassion for the people. And that's why sometimes it's hard in churches to move people because they don't have compassion. And the compassion comes from love. That's the only way that you be really compassionate. John 3:16, everybody knows this. For God so loved the world. That's what moved God. All of us will perish unless he do something about it. He did something. He sent his son to die for us. Out of love. Out of love. You want to be a compassionate person? You have to love. And the love will take you to be a compassionate. And when we have congregation full of love, you will have a congregation full of compassion to try to impact in the city, move the city. We have to move with you. We have to make sure that everybody talk about this church. What is that church over there in that corner? They do something about it. But we have to be compassionate. There's no other way. I could preach, or Pastor John or any other pastor can preach every Sunday, but nobody will move on this unless we have compassion. But it starts with love. We love. We have to love people. Because some of us, one day, we were there. And somebody take the time to bring us to the Lord. All of us have stories, beautiful stories. We all are examples of the power of the gospel. So, in 1 Timothy, Paul says this, here is trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save what? Sinners. Sinners. And that's what we lose perspective of that. You know, the one day we were there too. We are sinners, but we are saved. It's a big difference. And we have to reach out for those that doesn't know the Lord. But the only way you're going to do it is we have love, and that love will take you to compassion. And we have a compassion for them, then we'll move, we'll do something about it. We won't be judgmental with people, no, because they're dead in their sin. They're blind in their sin. What we have to do is love them, and that will move our lives to do something different. That's why it's so important. I put this one there because do you remember this soccer team that went into a cave, you know, they were celebrating, and then there was a huge disaster. They stayed for 25 days under, you know, those caves. And I put this because I will forget the statistic, but look at what it takes to save those 12 people. About 100 people, 10,000 people got involved to save them. 2,000 military professionals were dedicated to that. 200 divers, you know, were working to save them. 100 different government agencies worked together to save these 12 people. And the rescue include 19 professionals, and one of them died trying to rescue them. And people, the whole world were moved by compassion, and they do something about it for 12 people. Imagine all the effort. And if you read the whole story, I guarantee you there'll be a movie about it, because it was amazing all what they have to do, because they couldn't see through the caves. It was dark. They had to come out with a whole bunch of ideas in order to get to them. And as soon as they went out, everything collapsed. But they were safe. But it took the life of one of those professional divers there. And I was thinking, wow, just to save 12 persons. But imagine the thousands of people that we have here in Whittier that will perish if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. The world moved for 12 people. They put all the effort. But the reality is that every day, every friend that you have at school and your job, everywhere you go, there is people that will perish if we don't do nothing about it. What will it take to us? That's what the example here is, a real example. And Apostle Paul in Colossians 1:13-14 tells us about it, you know, that how we came from darkness to the light, because the love and the compassion of God for us moved him to send his son to die for us. What are we going to do to reach out all those that are going to perish if we don't do anything? That's why I urge you this morning to think about it and have compassion, because we need workers. We need people to get involved. It takes work, it takes sacrifice, but it's worth it. I am thankful for this guy, Junior Diaz. I love him. Like, you don't have idea. I love my pastor, Juan Ramos, from Comerío in Puerto Rico, that he was patient with me. And he used to tell me, "Negro, I don't know if you saved." Yeah, because it was hard for me. I was 6 months, because, you know, in the churches in New York, there is a couple of New York guys here, you know that the music is good, man. So I used to, before go to church, take my little cigarrito, you know, get high, get on, and then I was in the front, you know, te salvo, Señor, que me da la vida. Wow, the brother is in fire, man. And finally, the Lord listened to the prayer of my pastor and another invited guest speaker. He was talking, don't play with church. Serve God with all your heart. And he was preaching so hard. And I was, wow, this guy is on fire. And then he looked at me like I look Mario. Hopefully he's not getting high, you know. But he looked at me and say, you don't pray with God. He said, right, young man. He told me like this. I saw God, believe me. I saw God. The first thing I did, I threw stars and everything and said, forget it, man. I'm through with it. That was my healing, you know. And then I told my pastor, and he laughed, you know, of happiness. Y dijiste en Spanish, ¿y qué tú crees? Yo estaba orando por ti sin vergüenza. He was so happy that God finally, I finally understand what it means to be a Christian. Somebody that received the love of God fully. And my life changed. And that's why I'm preaching now. Because one people care for me, have compassion, and do something about it. So I want that you go home with that thinking. What can I do about it? The people that I know that doesn't know the Lord, what can I do for them? Feel compassion for them. Don't be judgmental. Because we the Christian, we try to get away from those people. But remember, we're supposed to bring it to the Lord. Don't shy away from that. Be compassionate. Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for this opportunity that you give me to talk this morning. And I pray that we could be the way you have been with us, with love and compassion. That we have compassion for this community and will be impact with your gospel. In Christ, I pray. Amen.